You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley, it's lovely to have you on the show. How are you this morning?
Morena Rachel, very well, thank you, very well.
Well, we have to start with a very sad bit of news, which I'm sure everybody is still feeling very deeply at the moment. The passing of Whaanana Efeso Collins last week really has rocked people, and I'm sure at council, especially, people are feeling that. Yourself, you must be feeling it particularly on a personal level too, because I know that you were very close colleagues and friends as well, Desley.
Look, we were, Rachel, and it really has... I just sort of feel that I'm walking around a bit in a bit of fog. I mean, it was such a shock. A man that I've known or worked with for 9 years. I mean, we first worked together. We were both chairing local boards together. We did that for 3 years, and then we were councillors for 6 years. And for a big part of that, we sat next to each other. And anyone will know, in a work environment, when you work with someone, you know, day in and day out, and you sit next to them and you chat, you actually do become really good friends. Efeso, for me, was a really, really special individual. And he had some rare qualities as a politician, if I could say. And I'm not saying that, you know, every other politician's not like this, but he was really genuine, really genuine. He was humble. You know, it was never about him. It was always about others. He was incredibly respectful in his language. He was inclusive, and I think that was the big thing that wowed me about him. I always liked him. He was a lovely, warm, genuine person, but, you know, the story is pretty well known. He came over to me and asked me if he could sit next to me because he wanted to learn. Education was important to me. He wanted to learn what made my community different to his community.
Mm.
But his learning was, Rachel, was actually my learning. You know, for him, he taught me so much. You know, we had some big debates, you know, off the record and on the record. He had some things that he was really passionate about. I mean, I remember the fuel tax, for example. You know, this was something that sort of the Labour people wanted to do, and yet he knew this wasn't good for his community, that, you know, that the reliance on car all hours of the day and night was really important for his community. And he really struggled with the debate because he knew, you know, the intent of it. But, you know, we would talk it through, and when he came to a decision not to support that, it was really because he was conscious of the effect of another financial burden of his community. And, you know, he was a huge supporter of low-cost public transport. You know, he knew that it should be accessible for all Aucklanders, and that was something he was really passionate about. Diversity, look, we know that argument, and I think as we go out for consultation on the LTP, and I'll talk to you about that, I'm sure, another time, but I'm going to take that legacy that Efeso left with me and make sure that inclusivity and that diversity and that embracing of the ability to communicate with Aucklanders of all cultures is really taken on board. Mm. He was just one of those genuine guys. And to go while he was helping his Pacifica people was just the most tragic thing. You know, I just feel gutted. And his kids, you know, a father of two young girls, and they were his world, Rachel.
Mm.
I mean, his littlest was the same age as my littlest grandchild, and we would share pics, and I would see the messages he would send to the girls and stuff during council meetings, full of love. He was just such a wonderful, wonderful man, and it's just such a loss. He was at the peak of his career. Here he did, finally made it to the halls of power in our parliament. You know, it doesn't get much bigger than that in our country. He got there. He was proud to be there. Family were proud of there, and his time was cut terribly short. It's just tragic.
It is, yeah, and I think that, as you've touched on there, his legacy, we're really only just starting to see what that is going to be, because it's so broad and deeply felt across many different communities. So yeah, a lot of people feeling that very, very heavy at the moment, but thank you for speaking to that, Desley, and to your relationship with him. We've been thinking a lot about obviously his family, but also everybody who worked with him, because really, really special person for sure. Let's talk a wee bit about trains. It feels, you know, weird to pivot into talking again about what's just going on in Tāmaki at the moment, but there is a lot happening, and the trains have been an ongoing problem, probably more acutely at the moment than we've seen for quite a while. Lots of delays, disruptions, whole lines being sort of put on hold for you know, peak rush hour times of the day. It's just not really good enough, is it? What is the conversation that council is currently having with Kiwi Rail and with central government about resolving this?
The train situation is absolutely abominable. It's been disgraceful. I mean, we've had a series of train issues, from tracks to heat to signals, you name it, we've had it. And it's just absolutely unacceptable that we've had lines that have been out of commission for months and months and months, and then you turn around and tell Aucklanders, I'm sorry, the heat has stopped those trains being on those tracks. I mean, for heaven's sake, there's trains across the Sahara Desert. So the thing for people to understand is the train network in Auckland is a little bit complex, i.e. there are three big players here.
Yeah.
You've got Kiwi Rail, which is a government agency that owns and maintains Auckland's rail tracks, right, and the track infrastructure, including the power lines, the points, the switches, the rails, the whole nine lines. There's a big investment program into the tracks. I think it probably has been under investment for a long time, but that's their bit. Then you have Auckland Transport. Oh, no, I'll go next to probably One Rail. So while AT own the fleet of trains, Auckland run these services and manages our train stations. So Auckland Transport is a customer of Kiwi Rail, and they pay access fees. So there's three big agencies, and they have to work together. And what I'm seeing is they haven't worked as well together as they should. You know, everyone's got a finger and it's pointing in a different direction away from them to somebody else. So what the mayor did, and I absolutely 100% support him, he called them all today and he gave them a bit of a bollocking, really. And he said, you've got to sort this out. And off they went. And they're coming back this week for round two. The data that has been coming through on the success or otherwise, and it's more otherwise than success. You know, we had Wednesday last week, we had 100 services that failed punctuality due to network speed reduction. That was on Wednesday. On Thursday, it dropped down to 59. Friday, it was 54. It's getting better, but it's just not acceptable.
For people who are trying to, you know, just get to work or get around the city at the moment, obviously these are really long-term conversations, because as you said, there's a lot of big players that need to kind of work together, and that is actually going to take quite a lot of time and juggling to make that relationship work. But in a day-to-day sense, Desley, for people who just want to be able to get to work, what certainty is there for them about this kind of near future time with our trains? What are we going to see over the next couple of weeks?
Well, I think that's the key issue, Rachel, isn't it? I mean, people don't use public transport when it's unreliable. So punctuality and having a, whether it's bus, train, ferry, whatever, it's got to be reliable. And if it's not reliable, you won't use it. And at the moment, the train service is getting too many cancellations for people to treat it as being reliable. I mean, I think one of the, you know, the best things we can all use is the AT app, right, which is fantastic. But if it's day after day that your peak service, and that's, let's face it, that the most, you know, the strongest service is in the morning, 7:30 to 8:30. If the peak service isn't reliable, you're not going to use it. So what the mayor is really saying is, look, you've got to fix this. You've got to have the main services at least reliable and punctual and on time, because we're about to hit March Madness. Yeah. And if we haven't got this ready before March, we're in deep trouble.
Well, it'll be interesting to touch base again after that other meeting has happened, Desley, and hear, you know, what else has come out of that. But we really appreciate your time and talking to it this morning, and again speaking to us about Whanana Efeso Collins as well. Have a really nice rest of your week, and we will talk to you again in a fortnight.
Thanks, Rachel. Ka kite.
Kia ora. Ka kite.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.